It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game, just like the man said, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, however you're taking us in. It's Gil Alexander. Good morning, y'all. How you doing? So much to get to. Oh, my God. Boy, do we love it when there's sports. Sports, and then there's soap opera sports on the side, which we'll get to momentarily. We will have Dan Weston in to give us a tennis play of the day. We hit our tennis play yesterday. Leila Fernandez also called how that line would move, too, and said, get it quick because it's going to go up. So we did everything right yesterday. Leila Fernandez over Sloane Stephens. We'll have Dan Weston with a pick today. Slim pickings in tennis, I think, today. But Dan's got something to share with us. Jason Weingarten back to talk about MLB because he's written for Point Spread Weekly, so he has more to share with us in terms of some props out there and his reaction to Kamala Harris being selected as Joe Biden's vice president. We'll get into that as well. Chris Felica, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. We will have the discussion with him about college football. We have not heard from the Bear. We have not heard him chime in yet, so looking forward to that conversation. Paul Carr, Champions League soccer picks. Brady Cannon, Wyndham Championship, golf, Chrissy Andrews. What else do you need? My God, what a show. Matt Santos is here, everybody. Maybe we'll hear from Matt today. I don't know. Producer number 6.5. By the way, it's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports Nevada. There's never been an August like this in sports before. Nevada fans are getting in on the fun at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks that bring you the most iconic casino hotels in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with live betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in the great state of Nevada. Basketball, baseball, and hockey all at once all month long. If you want to take this once-in-a-lifetime summer to the next level, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Let us start for the third consecutive day, though, with this, you know, troubling conversation we all have to have about college football. And let's bring him in from collegefootballnews.com, the czar of collegefootballnews.com, the creator, the founder. It's our friend Pete Futek. Good morning again, Peter.
Good morning. Yeah, you mentioned it was kind of funny, the timing yesterday. You mentioned Kamala, where yesterday you could just kind of tell, like, if everything was coming at once, where everyone was waiting for who the VP pick was going to be, and everyone knew the Big Ten and Pac-12 were about to make announcements. And it's like the Big Ten couldn't catch a break because it announced it was canceling, or I'm sorry, you have to say postponing the season. And then the Kamala news comes out like 10 minutes later, where it was like they didn't get enough of a news bump where they could have like hidden it. And then the Pac-12 kind of snuck in and said, hey, guys, we're postponing the season. Bye.
Hey,
and
guys.
Then, you know, got out.
Hey,
yeah,
guys.
And so like. Yeah, so the Kamala thing all kind of happened at once there, and it was kind of interesting to watch it all in real time.
Well, let's just start with the tweets. I'll get your reaction. Well, first of all, the two standard ones that you just talked about from Brett McMurphy over there at Stadium. This was the first one this morning, yesterday morning. Big Ten becomes the first Power 5 league to cancel fall football season, sources told Stadium, first reported by Yahoo. McMurphy keeping count now. At that point, 41 of 130 FBS programs were out for fall football, meaning no fall football, pending decision by Pac-12 today. And then shortly thereafter, not shortly, but a little while thereafter, coming back with the Pac-12 announcement from Brett McMurphy, Pac-12 has canceled fall football season, source told Stadium. We're done. Official announcement came at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so that's two of the big five. Dunzo, again, as Pete just said, not unexpected. We've talked about it the last couple days. Then some other random tweets, because everybody else in terms of the big five, Power Five, are trying to still do this in some form. But I want to get your reaction to some random tweets I picked out from yesterday. Let's continue with one more here, Matt, if we would. This is from Dan Wolken over there at the USA Today. If the conclusion of the Pac-12 and Big Ten medical experts is to shut down and the conclusion of the SEC and Big 12 medical experts is to keep going, people better be willing to talk about it in detail and on the record. Isn't that true, Pete? Shouldn't they?
I guess, but what do you need to hear? I mean, everyone's got the same stuff. It's just a question of who's got the risk tolerance. And we've said this before, and again, I don't like going here when it comes to the politics and the aspects of where the world is at. But certain states have different guidelines and protocols and different sorts of risk tolerances than other ones do. And again, look at just along the red state, blue state lines, who's deciding to cancel and who isn't, and who, like, even like, for example, the Big Ten, who is the most, hey, we want to play in most militant of the bunch, was Nebraska, which, again, a different sort of red state, attitude. Again, I'm not, believe what you want to believe, but that just seems to be how this is sort of falling. So part of the problem with the, hey, let's get the medical experts out there was, you really want to ruin these people's lives? I mean, look at what happens whenever you get medical experts out there on anything. Then you see what the college football people, how crazy they went yesterday, especially Big Teners, when you took away their college football. You're going to get the whole same sort of, you guys are fear porn and, scaremongering and all that kind of stuff. So really, what this is. The Pac-12 just flat out came out and said, look, we just don't think, if you read through the Pac-12 stuff, they said we have three problems here. One, we just don't think it's overall safe. Two, we can't figure out the travel. And three, we don't have the adequate testing to do this. And the Pac-12 has been a little more like, yeah, we don't have it. We'll play one. The Arizona State president was like, hey, we'll play one when it's safe. There's no reason to play college football until we think it's right. Other conferences are going to think otherwise. And that's just kind of how this is falling at this point.
All right, I'm gonna leave that point alone because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I do think it's an interesting point.
Here's
another one. Let's move on to the next one because I want to get Pete's reaction to all these, and I have some things to throw in because I want to move this forward into some other thoughts. This sort of apes or mimics what I was saying back in July. I'm all aboard with what Alex Kirshner's saying here. We wouldn't be here if Power Five administrators dropped the amateurism charade and gave their players more rights. College football isn't stopping right now because it lacks popularity. It's stopping because it's hard to square it with the reality in which the labor doesn't get paid. Amen, Alex Kirshner. I'm all aboard with that.
I don't think they stopped because they're not getting paid, though. I don't even think it's really the options. I think that really it's just because they don't think it's necessarily safe. Now, the big question marks from there is, okay, well, if you don't think it's safe, then why are you letting regular students go back to campus? And are players actually safer in the world of college football, where you are more structured and watched all the time and tested and all that? So that's another sort of debate. I don't think this really has anything to do with them getting paid or not. In fact, it might actually be a better thing for the option that they aren't, because if it was about money right now, they'd just cancel this whole thing because nobody has it.
I think you're bastardizing what he's saying, though. I really think that it's a totally different calculus if you hadn't had this charade of amateurism all these years. The as I called it, the awkward optics of amateurism don't square.
But optics don't matter. But the optics are on the other side right now. I'm with you overall. And I do think that that is like an overarching issue, but the optics were that everyone wants to play. All the overwhelming, this public sentiment was we want to make this a go. And it's the more popular thing to say, let's play this thing. And helped by the we want to play movement, I don't necessarily think that the Big Ten and Pac-12 would have been anything different. You're at the optics of this right at the immediate moment. It's because the nerve is still raw. The optics all day yesterday.
I said it months ago. I go, it's the health first, and it's that second. And those are the two. To me, those are the two big things. Anyway, we could disagree on that. Let me move on to something else here. Pat Dooley, Coach Spurrier called a few minutes ago. The old ball coach called Pete, said the SEC and the ACC should just play their seasons and winners face off for national title because one conference is going to win it anyway. I'm sure Ohio State had something to say about that. But that's the old ball coach's idea. What do you think about that?
Let's just cut to the chase here. It's about cash and tickets, and so that's as you would say. And look, there's a lot of teams left, and that's the beautiful part about college football is there's 130 of these FBS things, and you lose a bunch of them, there's still a lot left. So you could still have, let's say they do actually play, if we can have an ACC or SEC or Big 12 season, there's still a lot of fun to be had out there. Look, just as everything was melting down yesterday, one of the more hopeful fun moments was Army and Georgia Southern released that they're going to play a game, two option offenses on November 21st.
That's right.
Going at it. That sounds fun to me. That's okay. Let's do this. So there's still a lot of games out there. It's much as this stinks. Look, I grew up most of my entire life on and around a Big Ten campus. This is weird.
Oh,
you know, I live in Chicago.
Stinks. It stinks for everybody.
My dad worked for Minnesota. I lived in Minneapolis, went to Wisconsin. Like, not having Big Ten football sucks. But there's a lot of other football out there to potentially be played. And as we kind of joked about, they're postponing it. They might postpone this to the fall or to the spring and just move everything to a few months from now, which I don't necessarily think they're going to do, but at least there's the illusion that they're going to do that.
Well, speaking of that, here's one other one. And this is from, I believe this is for, is this the Brad Powers one, Matt? This is Brad Powers, who used to work with Phil Steele, reacting to the notion of spring football. A few reasons why it won't work. And I agree with Brad on all these. Best players will all opt out to the draft. Playing 20 plus games in 9 months is safe, meaning if you played a spring and then a fall. Are we guaranteed a vaccine? Did this heart condition magically disappear? Or is it safe to play in spring because there might be a new guy in, well, it goes on in some politics. But those first four, I completely agree with all that. The spring thing just doesn't seem right to me.
It doesn't, but let me push back on actually all of that. Because think about this, that how many players from each team do you think actually turn pro? So we're not going to have Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. But outside of Ohio State and Clemson and a few other teams, maybe you might be losing two players at absolute most who want to go out for the NFL draft. Most teams don't get players drafted. So it's not like, you can still have college football and miss some of the stars. And on the flip side, you might have more players who are going to want to play and be in because they're going to up their draft stock, who might be fourth rounders who want to try to show off, because if you don't have some of the stars and you get more of a more time to work, you get a better showcase on that. The other part I would kind of push back on the idea of the vaccine, which that's hopeful thinking. What seems to be the big thing going forward, and from at least two real medical experts who handle this, is more about the testing. And again, that's kind of what the Pac-12 was alluding to, because if you can have a fast, easy, reliable test, then that's a game changer. Because if you can, I'm joking here, but you spit in a cup, you swish it around, turns blue, okay, you're healthy, get on the field. That's where they can figure this out and actually start to play again. And that's, I think, in terms of where things might be 5 months from now. Yeah, one way or another on the presidential election, who knows? But if we can figure out how to get faster, easier, more random tests, and that's where the optics are, I think, on this more than anything else, is why do these guys get tests and the regular public doesn't? Well, I think that's one of the things that the Pac-12 alluded to, that if we can test all these players faster and easier, we can actually probably do this.
Talking to Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com, there's a final tweet there from Pete the Mel just talking about Big 12 presidents wrapping up their call, Big 12 like the SEC or the ACC. They're still trying to see if they can play. And again, let me just reiterate for everybody, Pete and I, we rely on this for our livelihoods, man. We want there to be college football, but we're both adults and we both want everybody to be safe. And that's sort of the perspective we come from. Let me bring up something here in our last couple minutes here, Pete, because I just want to think of things that I haven't heard said anywhere else, which is me and my buddies, we've talked about Joe Burrow. And specifically, when you talk about how bummed we all are about this, Joe Burrow 2 years ago was like a fringe middle round pick.
Oh, how about last year at this time? Absolutely. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, last year at this time was like a fringe middle round pick. And one season of college football, obviously, it's the most extreme example there is. He has the greatest year ever for a passing quarterback. Completely changes the trajectory of his entire life. And the real sadness that we will never know how many players in college football's lives from not being able to play because of this virus will be affected completely. Their entire trajectories will be affected in ways that we'll not be able to define, because we won't be able to see if they could have improved their stock or, in a market way. So that's the kind of thing we don't talk about enough,
Yeah. And that's just everywhere. I mean, look, it stinks. You hear all these, high school kids who didn't get a prom this year or the parents who, waited their whole lives to see their kid graduate from high school. And it was just weird. And that was sort of the problem. And like we all focus on, okay, what, you know, I don't really feel bad for Justin Fields. He's going to be, you know, nine-figure bank account 10 minutes from now. It's the kid who tweets out, hey, I think I might have just had my last football practice ever. And I know there's worse things in the world to miss, you know, it's a game, you know, if losing out on college football is the worst thing that happens to you, you'll be fine. But these guys work their entire lives for this, their young life. They work so hard. This is their dream. And it just stinks that this is happening like this, you know, for them. So I do think silver lining in all this will be that if we do talk about the spring session, if they do have this, I think they just move the eligibility over. And just say, okay, if we have a spring session, you keep your eligibility for that time. But that's still kind of weird thinking. But you're right. This stinks for everybody. And one last quick note before we're out is that, you know, the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are all, they're not a go. They're just not a stop. And that's kind of what happened yesterday is that they didn't say, they say, we're absolutely playing. Everyone's kind of saying, yeah, we're just going to give it 2 more weeks to kind of figure this out.
Yeah.
So it's not an all systems go. It's just not a full stop for these conferences.
Yeah, I am not bullish that any of this will happen, but we shall see. We'll follow it day by day as everyone else will. We'll talk to Felica about it later, too, because I want to ask about eligibility and transfer and all that stuff. Pete, always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Gil. We'll have to do this again sometime.
The soap opera that is college football. Pete Futak right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Tennis picks, baseball, college football with Felica, golf with Brady Cannon. It's all coming up. It's A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by Indeed from the Indeed.com studio. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact for more information. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Santos alongside. Matt, Hard Knocks was on last night. Did you know this?
Sort of. I was not aware that it was on, but now I did see that Anthony Lynn did say he had COVID on
yes, he had COVID. I think he's passed it now.
Passed, yes.
Yeah. I fell asleep on it. I'm not going to lie to you. 20 minutes in, I fell asleep on it. I don't know if that means your boy's getting old or if it's just Hard Knocks during COVID is Hard Knocks during COVID. And it's just
Hard Knocks.
The nature of it is not going to be that spectacular. You know, there's a whole scene with guys getting swabbed. You know, like, I'm not sure how exciting that's going to be to people, but
it's not the normal Hard Knocks we're used to.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I fell asleep, so maybe it got better. People will have to hit me up at Beating the Book and let me know. Yesterday on the show, picks, I hit my baseball pick on the Rays. Hope everybody followed. Jason split his, although the Diamondbacks gave it a valiant effort in the ninth yesterday. God, some of these baseball games late. That game was 2-2, the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. The Rockies put up 6 in the bottom of the eighth, and the Diamondbacks came back with 5 in the top of the ninth to fall short. Unders, RIP, in that game. So he split. I hit my Tampa. Hit the tennis yesterday. Hope everybody wrote on Leila Fernandez. Again, ahead of the line as well on that. And we'll have Dan Weston and Jason to do tennis and baseball coming up here on the show. We didn't hit the hockey. I think Andy McNeil missed on the Stars yesterday. A little goaltending change there that it was sort of a surprise for the Stars. Stars end up losing that. Don't forget this morning, though, he is on the Bruins. So the Bruins postponed from yesterday to 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. So just over a half hour from now, they're facing off game one of the Bruins Hurricanes series. And remember, Andy's on both the Bruins in game one, even a more favorable price here this morning. I think Dougie Hamilton playing here for the Canes. Can we call him the Canes? But he's on game one and the series for the Bruins. So don't forget, in case you haven't gotten your bets in, that takes place in just over a half hour with face-off there. And the reason it was postponed yesterday, God, how great is sports right at this moment in time? The five overtime, in case you missed it yesterday, five overtime game between the Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Lightning end up winning it in five overtimes, 3-2. Braden Point giving the Lightning the win after in the fifth overtime. Jonas Corposalo made 85 saves for the Blue Jackets in defeat. 85 saves in defeat. It's the fourth longest game in the history of the National Hockey League. 150 minutes, 27 seconds. By the way, the third longest game was that Pittsburgh Penguins Flyers Eastern Conference semi, I want to say. Maybe it was the finals or the semis. Eastern Conference 2000. Todd Wishnev, famous for this show, of course, in Action on Showtime, he attended that game. He related to us that he went to that game back in 2000 in the middle of the second overtime, just walked in the building and got 2.5 free periods of hockey in that one. That game was, I think, a minute and 30 longer than this one was yesterday. It was unbelievable. If Tampa Bay had lost with Corposalo having those 85 saves, I don't know how they recover from that, especially given the fact that Columbus had that historic sweep over them after their unbelievable regular season last year. So, you know, it's going to be tough for the Blue Jackets to recover, but I think a lot easier for them, given their makeup, than the Light. I think the Lightning would have just been just, God, that would have been impossible to come back from yesterday, but just historical. Oh, by the way, there's my tweet, Matt. This was my sort of take on it. While these periods were going on, I said they should put a runner on second base to start this next period of hockey. So clever. The show's getting to the point where I'm just like, I'm just throwing out my tweets and my old audio. Well, no one said it better than I did back in July. Let's not be that show, Matt. Anyway, I thought that was the obvious joke, but that's really what it got down to. But I loved it. Give me more hockey. Give me 10 periods. I enjoyed every minute of it. By the way, producer number 7, before we forget today, two more days of producer number 7 submissions. You have till midnight Friday night. That's it. At numbers@VSiN.com, numbers@VSiN.com. Do you want to be producer number 7? Producer of this show 5 days a week in Las Vegas, Nevada. You looking for a career change? You looking for a life change? Want to be in sports? Only qualifications. You got to know sports. Got to be smart. You got to be funny. Please, numbers@VSiN.com. Send us a resume and a 60 to 90 second video expressing to us, however creatively you want to, why you have the goods to be producer number 7 right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. Just over 2 days left in that. We'll come back. What are we doing next? Let's start with tennis picks. Let's do that. Call it Dan Weston from over there across the pond. It's next, the numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
We are offering our best price of 2020 on short and long-term packages here at VSiN. By the way, we even offer free trial. If you still aren't sure which option is best for you, take advantage of this offer before the price goes up for football season. Subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you with all of these things. Daily email updates that include our best bets from every show, host, and guest, 24/7 video access, Point Spread Weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, and more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Matt, you like that? We definitely don't want to be that show. We're like, no one said it better than I did on this fateful day in July. And then we just run the audio, whatever I said. Yeah, let's not be that show. All right, let's do some tennis. There is nobody better on planet Earth, in my humble opinion, on betting tennis. We got the two best, I think. Drew Dinsick as well, who comes on this show and does it. I'm happy to just be in their company. Ladies and gentlemen, from England at Tennis Ratings, it's our old buddy Dan Weston. How you doing, Dan?
Yeah, I'm good, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A couple things. One, you and I were both on Leila Fernandez yesterday over Sloan Stephens, which is exactly the bet that we made right before the pandemic in March, Leila Fernandez over Sloan Stephens. Kind of an easy one. It's more of a fade. For me, anyway, it was more of a fade of Sloan Stephens. She is just a shell of what she once was.
Yeah, a bit of both, really, I think, for me. So primarily, you're absolutely right. Stephens is is such big decline based on the, compared to those numbers from 2017, 2018, when she reached two slam finals, winning one. And she's barely winning over 50% of service points right now. So that is not going to win you many matches with those that sort of data. And the 17-year-old Fernandez, who is a player on a really nice upward curve, very, very strong data in qualifiers and in ITF-level tournaments at that lower level. So I expect a lot from her in the future. Yeah, easy win for Fernandez over Stevens.
Yeah, love her demeanor on the court. Love her demeanor. The only other thing I want to bring up from yesterday, Serena Williams, who lost the first set, and then at 4-4 in the second set to Bernarda Pera, was love 40. So Pera was right on the cusp of a break and then on her racket to win the match, and Serena does what Serena does. She comes back, she wins that game, and at that point you kind of knew it's over. It's unbelievable with her. Now, do you read that as, wow, Serena's still as great as ever, or is that like sort of like, I don't know, you know, this, we might see more of this from Serena. She's not getting any younger.
It's a good question. I mean, I think I said to you before, I don't really believe in clutch players or non-clutch players long-term in tennis, but I think that there's one player who has that kind of aura around them where you have to really earn that win when you're in front of her. And it's, you know, the mental hurdle of overcoming possibly the greatest player of all time, and it is going to be Serena Williams. And we saw that again yesterday, that she came through a really, really difficult spot and then sort of won easily in the final set. And I kind of equate it to Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson. They when he was the manager, they scored so many like injury time goals. They even nicknamed it Fergie time in England because they scored so many in that period. And he had that kind of aura as well. And yeah, I don't necessarily think Serena is peak Serena right now. I don't think many people probably would, but she's still going to be a very, very difficult opponent on WTA Tour. And looking ahead to her match tomorrow against Sister Venus, I'm extremely surprised to see we can get almost 1.5 on Serena against Venus.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. Okay, so talking to Dan Weston at Tennis Ratings, tennisratings.co.uk. I look at Lexington and Prague both here today. I'll be honest with you. I don't love anything. I think, I think Anjabur wins, but the price is not right. Coco Gauff probably with a little value, but I don't know. If I bet anything, it might be that. What do you like here today? I'm curious.
So my big one was this morning in Prague, this morning UK time, I should say, kind of, I guess, overnight US, was Anna Bogdan, the Romanian player, against Lesya Cherenko from the Ukraine. And Cherenko has very, very poor numbers on clay, long-term and short-term, very, very poor service numbers. And on a relatively quick clay court, I didn't expect her to do well. And evidently, she didn't expect herself to do well either, because she pulled out before the match started.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other spot I half like is Magda Linette against Jennifer Brady tonight. Linette's decent underdog for that. It's far less of an enthusiastic one than Bogdan was earlier, which I thought was, Bogdan was a slight underdog for that match, and I thought the prices were the wrong way around.
Okay, so let me translate again. We'll do the English to English translation here, Dan. Don't be offended for our largely American audience. So Dan is on. He doesn't like it as much as the match that he had that didn't happen earlier this morning, our time. But he does like, based on the price, Magda Linette over Jennifer Brady. Magda Linette, Polish. And by the way, for us, it's this morning, 11:45 a.m. Pacific. Let's call it 2:45 p.m. Eastern. And when I say let's call it, I'm not talking about the time zone difference. I'm just talking about the fact that you know how these matches sometimes don't start exactly when they start. But that's the starting time for now. Linette, a rather sizable dog here, right? Underdog.
Yeah. So she's almost at 3.0. So I think looking at the Betfair price currently, she's, where is it now? She's about 2.75, I think, 2.74 at the moment on Betfair. So, yeah, reasonable underdog. Brady's quite a solid favorite. I mean, I think Lynette can give her a good game. Both players won pretty easy in the first round, so it'll be interesting to see.
Okay, and again, translating that here in our American betting parlance, when last I looked, Magda Lynette was about plus 175-ish. Mm-hmm. Plus 175-ish against Jennifer Brady. So that is the play from Dan Weston this morning, and that is in Lexington here, stateside. United States of America. Anything looking ahead, or you haven't really dove into till tomorrow yet, Dan?
Yeah, I have actually had a look this afternoon, and there's a couple that I quite like. I mean, they're short price favorites, but they're almost certainly going to be value. Haven't run the model fully, but I'm pretty sure that there will be value. And one will be Serena over Venus, because yeah. I think there's a bit of an overreaction on the nature of Serena's win yesterday. And the fact that Venus beat Victoria Azarenka previously, but rather like Sloane Stephens, Azarenka is now not nearly as good as what she was at peak level, and Venus's numbers, particularly on serve, have taken a real hit in the last year, 18 months as well.
Okay.
So I would really be incredibly surprised if Venus won in against Serena tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you. Dan, I got to run, but I'll tell you what, we'll pass it on tomorrow. Well, yeah. The additional ones you have, but Serena, I'm with you there tomorrow. Magda Lynette today is the play from Dan Weston. Thank you, Dan. Sorry to be so rude, Dan. You too. Coming back, soccer picks and Jason Weingarten with MLB next.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM Sports wants you to start out with amazing odds during this amazing August. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on today's Nuggets-Clippers game. And if either team hits a three, you know the drill. You win $100. All you have to do is sign up, make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Just download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on the Nuggets-Clippers game and either team hits a three. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. I'll tell you what I'll do. Here's my promise to you. Dan was about to give us another play besides Serena tomorrow, so I'll effort that, and I'll try to pass it along. We got rudely interrupted by the commercial. Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get a jury duty update from our friend Jason Weingarten in Southern California, somewhere under a cloud of smoke. Good morning to you, Jason. Did they get you?
No, I'm good today.
I'm good today. By the way, I really liked the idea of you being the jury foreman, because I could totally see like your fellow jurors asking for a vote and you being like, no, I don't think we've considered five other things. And like leaping over the table to try to choke you. By the way,
that's exactly what it would be like.
It's a great sitcom idea. Jason Weingarten, jury foreman. I'd like to buy the option on that. That script writes itself. All right, Jason. Well, let's get this out of the way first. Kamala Harris, the market moved 20 cents in the general election towards Trump. So Biden is a slighter favorite than he was prior to the announcement. Do you read anything into that from a betting standpoint? Or go ahead. Answer that. Go ahead.
No, not really. But I am actually kind of surprised that Biden dropped on the announcement.
You're surprised that he what on the announcement?
He dropped? You're saying his odds dropped?
Yes, he dropped on the announcement. Yes, in the market.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised on that.
I'll tell you why I'm not surprised, because I get the sense, and this is completely anecdotal, I do not have the data to back this up, but I get the sense that sports bettors skew right, and I think anybody who Biden announced, that would have happened. Your thoughts, sir?
I don't know. I'm a little confused why he picked Harris, just because he delayed the announcement. And what was the point of delaying the announcement to just pick who's been, you know, basically the favorite the whole time? Although I guess Susan Rice was the favorite at the end.
Not everywhere, but yeah, in some spots. I do not have an answer for you for that. I really don't know. I didn't have no idea why it was delayed in the end. Let's talk a little baseball, though, because this Charlie Blackmon thing is becoming appointment television. Hitting 500. Now, I joked before the season. I was like, you know, truncated season. You're going to have some guy hitting 491. He took it seriously. It's not quite Barry Bonds 2004, because Barry Bonds 2004, he walked a whole bunch, right? And if you made one mistake over the plate, it was like out of the park. So he was hitting like this early into that season. This is more George Brett-ish, 1980. This is unbelievable. Charlie, like, if he doesn't get a hit, you're surprised. He's gonna ruin all your MVP bets. Is that what's gonna happen here? What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. It's not really Bonzian or whatever you want to call it, because he's not really hitting the home runs that you know, a Bonds or someone like that would be known for. But he's hitting everything, you know. He's leading the league in RBIs and average and slugging and a couple other categories. I don't think he's going to ruin all my MVP bets, because I was lucky enough to get a little bit down on him last week, thanks to one of our Twitter followers, yes, named T-Bone, who mentioned him.
Give T-Bone a shout. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, got to give T-Bone a shout out, because, you know, in all honesty, I wasn't paying attention to the Rockies or Charlie Blackmon, and he was like, hey, this guy's going crazy. And it was a couple days in a row. He was like, look at this, you know, Blackman's going crazy again. And I finally looked at it and I was like, oh wow, those are actually really good numbers. So, you know, sometimes reading Twitter is a good thing, and you find information.
Yeah. Thank you to T-Bone for
that. Yeah, thanks, T-Bone. But I saw last night Blackman's got about a 10% chance now of maintaining 400 through 60 games. So, you know, 400's 400. If you hit 400, you're probably going to be the MVP.
Yeah, you had said something. I think it was the MLB Network that did this. And you can't really do this completely accurately, because you have to project how many at-bats when it comes to average. You have to project at-bats, which is, you know, not an exact science. But roughly, they're like, he's got to hit about, this was going into yesterday, he's got to hit about 369 the rest of the way to hit 400. And you and I also talked about this in 2012, I believe it was 2012, when it was the Miguel Cabrera versus Mike Trout for MVP in the American League debate. I sat here as an advanced analytics guy. I sat up here. I'm like, look, you can't, because everybody was saying, oh, Trout's sabermetrics are so much better. And I was like, look, you can't have something like the Triple Crown held in such high esteem for 45 years. Carl Yastrzemski was the last one to have a Triple Crown in 1967 before Cabrera did it in 2012. You can't talk about this thing called the Triple Crown for 45 years and then not give the MVP to the guy who actually did it. Your war, you know, whatever your stat you're quoting for Mike Trout, be damned. Next year, different story, you can give it to Trout, but you can't do it this year. And it's a little different with the 400, right? Because it's a 60-game schedule. But maybe you're right. Maybe you just have to give it to someone if he hits 400, no matter what.
If he keeps these numbers up, yes.
Yes. Well, these numbers for sure. My God. Absolutely. All right. Yesterday, and this is the other thing we're talking about with the baseball slate. Boy, these games. Toronto's up on Miami. 3-run shot in the ninth. Toronto's forced to win it in extras. The Orioles with a dramatic come from behind win against the Phillies 10-9. Your Diamondbacks, which you ended up splitting yesterday, but I was mentioning earlier, it was 2-2 in the middle of the eighth. The Rockies played 6 in the bottom of the eighth, and then the Diamondbacks played 5 in the top of the ninth. I mean, these games are unbelievable. What do you like today?
Today I bet Phillies, and I bet Keller. What's his name? Royals.
Okay. The Phillies for Jason Weingarten. Phillies taking on the Orioles again. Pretty pricey. about minus 180-ish right now. And the but value is value. And the Kansas City Royals, slight dog, going up against Wade Miley and the Cincinnati Reds. So the Phillies and the Royals, the two picks today. I'm taking the Padres, man. I'm taking the Padres again against the Dodgers. Zach Davies against Gonsolin, who just, you know, is heat. Just a fireballer. So I'm not sure how long he'll be in the game. But at plus 140, I'm taking the Padres. Are you in the camp now that the Dodgers may not win this division? And at some point with the extended playoffs, they might not even care to win the division.
You know, I mean, at a certain point, I like the Dodgers. I talk about them a lot. We talk about how great they are, but you got to kind of win some games. You got to beat the Giants. You got to beat your division rivals.
Right.
You got to, you know, enough excuses. You lost to David Price. Kershaw was hurt. Bellinger's not hitting. You know, Muncy has a broken finger. You know, just do something. And you want to be the best and show that you're the best. Right now, the Rockies and the Padres are giving them a run.
At some point, you got to kind of win some games. There will be no better analysis than that today on this show or on this network. It's very true. And I see the we're not getting good prices on Nate Pearson anymore in Toronto. That's for sure. He's about minus 170 against Miami. So that's,
yeah, it's a little much. I think he'll probably have a good game, but I would not back him at that price.
No, I would not either.
It's not one of my plays.
No, I agree. Okay, Point Spread Weekly, real quick, because we only have 2 minutes here. Did you add? Because I know you were holding back yesterday on the show. Did you write something yesterday that you can share with us now in terms of a market?
Yeah, I added more Dustin May for Rookie of the Year at BetMGM at plus 350 and 400. I added, I added Blackman. I added him at 18-1. He's down to 14-1. Honestly, I'd still bet that. I like it. I think he's going to be in the race for a while. Let's see. What else did I bet?
So May, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I bet some Luis Robert 4-1 Rookie of the Year. I think that's a good price. Kyle Lewis is currently the favorite. I don't love that. I think he's having a really good season. A lot of strikeouts for Luis Robert too, but he's got like a 1.7 WAR already. That's like fifth in baseball. And Kyle Lewis is still at zero. So I kind of think that market has flipped. Should be Robert is the favorite.
Robert and May, Rookie of the Year, more Blackman for MVP. Okay.
Yeah. I bet some Tatis just because I had some fear of missing out on the Tatis MVP.
You don't want to lose for FOMO, that's for sure.
Denisel, I don't know how to say his first name. Denelson Lamette, the pitcher for the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple Cy Youngs, actually. I bet Lamette 22-1. I think his number is super short, or super not as short as it should be. I bet Frankie Montas 40-1. I already bet him 100-1 in March, but I saw 40-1. He's way better than a couple of the guys he's ahead of, especially like Clevinger's still on the list.
Okay.
Verlander, like Clevinger's great, but he's not going to win the Cy Young. You know, he's on the restricted list.
Jason, I got
so
it right.
I added Montas.
Yeah, I appreciate all this.
Dylan Bundy, don't sleep on Bundy.
Dylan Bundy, we'll talk later. It's all brought to you by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com, tools for your family jewels. 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. Chris Felica, soccer and golf picks next as well, right here at VSIN.